truth of that song. But the question is this morning, where's your cup? God ain't gonna fill your cup up. You got it hid. You got it covered up. This morning, I believe with all my heart, I know without a shadow of a doubt, if I'll hold my cup up to God and say, God, would you fill my cup? He'll not only fill it up, he'll press it down and run it over, amen. And I've always said, you can have as much as God as you want. And I'm afraid too much, too many times we've got so filled up on the junk of the flesh, we don't care to have much of the Lord. And it ought to be different than that. We ought to come, we ought to be so hungry. Just to see God move. And I really do. I desire that this morning. Again, appreciate you being here. Take your Bibles this morning to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Church there at Corinth, a very unusual church. We know a church that was struggling. Of course, Paul here, through the inspiration of God, writing this second letter to them. Paul had to write letters to this church, I believe, in tears because of the reproof that had to be done. But I'm glad God will teach us and train us if we're willing. God, Paul didn't write this to hurt people. God wrote these things to help us. And so I just want to encourage us to have an open heart this morning. It's not just about this morning. It's not the message this morning that's going to hurt you, I don't think. But we just want to see God work this morning. I do pray for the lost. Believe with all my heart the Lord's coming. Could be today. And you need to be ready. And I'm telling you, death, sure. People die every day, and you're going to die one day. You better be ready. And the only way to be ready is to know the Lord. And we sure want to encourage him to do that. This morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, if you can stand this morning, we ask you to stand out of honor and reverence to the Word of God. We're just going to read a few verses this morning here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in the pew or somewhere around you. If there's not, look on with your neighbor. We like to use the Bible, as I say, around here. We don't come to give you a poem and pat you on the back and send you on the way. God's given us his precious book, and we sure like to use it. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 this morning. Look with me in verse number 14. This is going to be our text verse, basically, but I want to read a little bit more of it this morning. The Bible says in verse number 14, the Bible says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. For we unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death and unto death, and to the other we're the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God speak we in Christ." Verse 14 again is where we want to dwell this morning. The Bible says in verse 14, "Now thanks be unto God, which always..." Did you see that? Not sometimes. Always. Now, you might not see it. You might not feel that way. But I know without a shadow of a doubt, I can say the truth of which always causes us to triumph, not in the world, not in the flesh. But this morning, I can say without a shadow of a doubt that Christ always triumphs this morning. Can I say this morning in the physical sense that light always overworks darkness? Can I say when there's darkness that overwhelms this world, one spark of light will overcome that darkness? That's the truth this morning. The Bible says again, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to notice triumph in Christ." Let's pray. Father, we love you. Oh, God, how we love you this morning, God. I know many times we come so short, but God, thank you, Lord, for your love. And I pray this morning, God, we sure have been filled this morning through the songs. I appreciate the truths of the songs that we've heard, and God, from the choir to the special. But God, as we've opened up this great book this morning, God, as the Word of God has flowed this morning, I pray this morning, God, that you would be manifested this morning. God, as we pointed out this morning over there in Revelations, God, once again, Lord, you knocked. But the Bible says, if any man hear your voice, God, this morning, people need to hear you, not me. And God, I pray this morning, God, that you'll just fill this place with your presence. God, I'm sure this morning, God, with a number like this, God, there's probably somebody here this morning that's not ready to meet you. God, they might have religion, they might have a form or a fashion, but God, they've truly never come to a place of a rebirth. And I pray this morning, God, that you just work in their hearts. God, I know, God, there's nothing I can do, but God, you can save to the uttermost, God. And I pray, God, you'll do that. I pray for our youngins this morning. God, as they're having class, I pray, God, as the teachers stand, God, that you'll speak to their hearts. I pray, God, that you'll just move in a great way. And Lord, I want to give you all the glory for it. For it's in Christ's name I do pray. Amen. You can be seated this morning. The Bible says here, and again, it says in verse 14, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us," and then this is the part I want to look at just a moment this morning, "us to what? Triumph in Christ." Now I know, and I don't want to bring a lot of attention to the things of our day, but this seems like in the last week or two, and I've probably been guilty of it myself from time to time, I'm not going to sit up here and say that I'm better than anybody. I like football. I really do. I'm looking forward to seeing who wins tonight. I can tell you who's going to win. But that's what's been asked me all week. Hey, who do you think's going to win? I can tell you who's going to win. The one that has the most points. That's who's going to win. That's a given. But I don't know which team. But anybody else can testify that you've heard. It's on the news. Everything got this going on, got that going on. And I know it's a big buzz in our area because of our team that's local that's going to be playing tonight. And I know in the world's eyes it's a big view. And the thought is, you know, nobody asks who's going to lose. Why? Because nobody wants to lose. But who's going to win? And I've played a lot of sports over my lifetime, and I've never been excited about, hey, coach, let's go out and lose one for the team. I've always found it to be opposite of that. I've always had coaches that would get us together before the game and get us psyched up and get us, you go out there and just give our all. But guess what? Sometimes we lost. Because there's always going to be some losers. Now, I know that's not popular in our day, and I believe it's hurting our children. Because nowadays, our children are taught that everybody wins. Guess what? Not everybody wins. People need to learn to know how to lose. But again, the thought again is so many things people are talking about. Who's going to win? Who's going to win? Who's going to win? And I believe tonight or this morning as we sit here in a church house, as we've opened up the Word of God, as we've heard great songs this morning, as I believe with all my heart, there's folks here this morning, you're saved, you're saved, you're saved, you're on your way to heaven, and you're excited about that. But I'm afraid so many times we've lost sight that, hey, we're winners. And that's what God's telling us here in verse number 14. He says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ." And again, we want to win. We need to understand that people want to be on that winning side. And I want to tell you this morning, church, it'd be a good thing this morning if we'd get to the place, and I'm not saying being boastful, I'm not saying being prideful, but I'm saying this morning that God has given us victory this morning, and even though the world is as bad as it is, and it's going to get worse, hey, I know this morning that God is triumphant in my life, and I've given my whole unto Him, and this morning I can stand up here. I'm hurting, my back don't feel good, I've not slept in 2 days, hey, but I can still get up here and say, thank God I got victory this morning. Not in myself. It says, thanks be unto God this morning. That's what he says, that we can triumph this morning. And I want us to understand there is victory this morning. I read some illustrations, some things this week, and just getting ready for this morning. And I know I've been inside the prison house. I've been in there preaching. I've been in there witnessing before. I've talked to many guys over the years as I've gone in and out of the prisons with Rock of Ages. And I've heard their stories, and I've listened to them, and I can just almost hurt for them. But I read a thing of a jail cell, that a man was in this cell and he died in prison. But when they went in there to clean out his room, they found etched in the stone, in the masonry of that little old cell, he wrote this on the side of his wall: "Born to lose." That's how he felt about his life. That's the depths of all that he could see, that his life was so bad, that his life was so terrible, that all he could see that I'm a loser. I was born to lose. Take your Bible over to Psalms 142. That man in distraught, that man with the mindset that he was born to lose. And I know this morning that in life that everything don't come out the way we want it to. Many times we want to win and we end up, seems like we lose. And I'm telling you this morning that there's a lot of people, and you might be sitting here this morning, you're looking at your life. You're looking farther than your job. You're looking farther than the bank account. You're looking at your life as a whole. Maybe you feel just like that prisoner felt that in that jail cell, that you were born never to be a winner, but always to lose. Well, I believe I can find here in the Word of God, here's a man by the name of David. Here, as we find him here in Psalms 142, at this place in his life, guess where he's at? He's in a cave. He's having to run for his own life. He feels like everything's against him. Notice what the Bible says here in Psalms 142. Verse 1 says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knowest my path. In the way wherein I walked have I privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. Oh, what, this is probably some of the saddest verses right here in the Bible. Notice it. No man, David said, no man cared for his soul. And I'm saying this morning, there's a lot of people this morning that might feel just like that. You work with people, you go to school with people, you talk to people this morning, they feel like that life has thrown them nothing but loss. And they feel just like David felt here, and they just feel like they were born to lose. David said he looked one way, and there was nobody there. He looked the other way, and there was no man there. Hey, he looked at his soul, and he said there was nobody that cared about his soul. But I can say this morning, I wanted to say this, but I want to be real careful when I say this, but I want to tell you this morning, that's a lie of the Bible right there. Preacher, that's the Word of God. That's not a lie. The Word of God is true. And God has many times recorded even the devil himself and the liar that he is. Go back over to Genesis and look how he lied to Eve. God recorded that. But here David looked at his circumstances. David looked at his life. He looked at how things had got so bad. He said, no man cared for his soul. Hey, I'm afraid many times we get to looking at mankind. But I'm thankful this morning there was one that came out of the portals of heaven. That the Bible tells me over in the book of John that he came and he put on flesh and he dwelt upon this earth and he walked as that man, the God-man. And I want to say this morning, there is a man that cares for your soul. It's a man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And David here again looking at his life, looking at the circumstances. Verse 4 says, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that know my refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. But then verse number 5, things are getting ready to change. Verse 5 says, I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Hey, friend, this morning, remember that guy in prison I told you about? He said, I was born to lose. Hey, friend, let me tell you this morning, you were born the first time a loser. Hey, but I want to tell you this morning, the second time I got born again, the Bible says you must be born again. Hey, the first time I was born, I was a loser, amen. I was dead in trespasses and sin. But hey, I want to tell you, the second time I got born, I got born again. And I was not born to lose, I was born to win. Hey, I want to tell you this morning, child of God, if you're saved, you are. You might not feel like it. You might not look like it. You might not show it. But that's not God's fault. That's your fault. But you are a winner. Amen. And that's what we want to get you to see this morning. Hey, I want the church to get alive. I want us to get back on the firing line. I want us to see, hey, the world is a mess. But let me tell you this morning, we're not going to lose. We're already winners. And the Bible says that he told us here. Look again over there in 2 Corinthians. What did he say? Look at it. Verse number 14. He says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to what? Triumph in Christ. Now that word triumph is a very interesting word. Triumph means there was a battle. Hey, if you're going to play a ball game, there's going to have to be a contest. Somebody's going to lose, somebody's going to win. Paul tells us here again through the Holy Ghost, he says, that which always causes us to what? Triumph in Christ. Christ. I'm afraid we've bought into this mess of our day where we feel like if we're not, we don't, our bank account's full or we don't have those sixes, we're right with God. But as soon as a problem comes in our life, we feel like maybe God left us. No, it's a battle, friend. There's a battle to be fought. But I can tell you, through it all, you might get knocked down. You might get hurt. You might get overwhelmed. But I want to tell you this morning, when it all boils out, when the rubber meets the road, you are going to triumph if you're saved. And that's what God says here. He says, listen, He causes us to triumph in Christ. Now again, it is a battle. It is a fight. And that's the reason God tells us over and over and over. In Ephesians chapter 6, He tells us to put on what? The whole armor of God. Why in the world would you put on armor if you weren't going to go to a fight? Hey, it's a battle out there, friend. Wake up, understand. Hey, we're on enemy ground. There's a battle. He tells us to put on. Over there in 1 Timothy, he said, fight the good fight. Apparently, it's a fight. Hey, we didn't realize there's a battle, there's a fight. Paul said over in 2 Timothy, when he came to the end of his life, he said, I have fought. He didn't go into this thing blind. He didn't go into this thing not seeing. He knew it was a battle. He knew there was a fight. But he says, when he came down to the end, hey, I fought. Hey, I don't like people that run. I'd hate to know that if I was in trouble, nobody have my back. I wonder this morning, which way would you run? That's what I love about policemen. That's what I love about firemen. They don't run away from trouble, they run to trouble. Where are we at in the battle? How'd you listen, you guys that served in the military, I used to love Civil War. And I used to read some of the stories of what they'd do to what they called a deserter. If you're saved this morning, you're in the army of God. Amen. Are you a deserter? I don't want to be a deserter. I want to fight a good fight. I want to put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because I know this morning that there is a fight to be fought, and it's a good fight. It's a battle. But I'm thankful this morning for verses like Romans chapter 8. Look with me this morning. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 this morning. We are triumphant. Winners. Who's going to win? God's already won. It's not a question. Romans chapter 8 this morning. Look in verse number 37. What did God say about us? He said in verse 37, nay, in all these things, we are not just conquerors. We're more than a conqueror. And boy, that's always just been a verse that just resonates in my heart. I've won some good games. I've won some battles. Hey, I've won some things I think, thank God I won. Let me ask you something. I'm not going to put you on the spot. Again, it seems like everybody's mind the last couple of weeks is on that big ball game tonight. I never looked it up this time because it depresses me, but the millions of dollars for a few seconds of advertising, I think, what God could do with that money. Let me ask you something. I was born in 1969. Who won the Super Bowl that year? It's so important. Who won it? Who won the World Series that year? Who won the New York Marathon? Who's going to win tonight? Everybody's got their team. As my daddy says, in 100 years, it ain't going to matter. It's big talk now. A few weeks, there'll be something else to talk about. I got really depressed this week. A preacher friend of mine sent me a thing on the internet. I love this preacher to death. He sent me a thing, and it was a questionnaire. And if you had to answer a bunch of questions, and they were good questions, you know, where you stood on abortion, where you stood on gun control and all these different things, and where, you know, you had to rate how strong a conviction you have on these things. I mean, it was a bunch of questions. And then it takes all your questions and it looks at all the candidates and where they stand, and it tells you who best suits what you say you stood for. And when it was all said and done, I was thinking, that thing there ain't right. Who did it say, preacher? I ain't telling you. And I don't think me and that guy line up. Somebody's going to win, though. A lot of them are going to lose. But I'm glad this morning, these things of this world, as Paul says, I just count them all as dung. Listen, I'd rather be a winner with Christ, and I am a winner in Christ. He says, I'm more than a conqueror. Be good this morning if you were saved, if you get a hold of that fact. Look over in 1 John. He says, we're going to be triumphant, always triumphant. First John chapter 4. I think again, we've got so used to this world and its darkness, we've lost our flair. And again, I don't want to walk around boastful. I don't want to walk around and prideful. I'm going to show you something in a moment with that thought. Let me go back to it in a moment. Look here in 1 John chapter 4 on that thought of we are victorious. Look at verse number 4. Ye are of who? God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. Hey, listen to me this morning. I'm not a winner because of who I am. Listen, I had no choice of where I was born. I had no choice of who I was born to. But I'm glad this morning I can say I've been born again. And I'll tell you this morning, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm in Christ this morning. I'm of God this morning. And I want to tell you, I'm winning. I'm triumphant in Christ. Go back over to 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians. Let me show you this. It makes me think a little bit as I was saying that a minute ago. Look what we are. Again, I don't say you need to toot your horn. I don't say you ought to walk around. And I know. I've been told this morning I don't even care to know. Well, you just think you're better than me. No, I just believe I'm saved and you need to be saved. That's what I believe. But look what God tells us about again. Look at verse 14. Let's look at it again. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to what? Triumph in Christ. And maketh manifest the Savior of His knowledge by us in every place. So, by our triumphancy, if that's even a word, by us being victorious, by us being a winner, God says, look, I'm using you. Look what He says. Look at verse number 15, or 16, or verse 15. For we unto God a sweet savor of Christ. We're trying to clean out our basement and do some work down there, getting some things put together down in our basement. And we come across some old annuals, you know, come across some old plastic trophies, you know, that our kids might have won or I might have won or whatever it is. You know, when I was a young and you get that trophy, oh, look what I got. Now that I'm 46 years old, that piece of plastic don't mean a whole lot. But look what God says we are to Him. He says we're a sweet-smelling savor. Verse 15, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. That's who we are. We, when you're born again, listen, if you're not saved this morning, this is not you. And I don't mean this ugly, but listen, if you're saved, you're a winner. If you're lost, you're not going to win. You can win all the money. You can win all the awards. You can have the bigger house and the nicer car. But when you come to death, I promise you, you won't be a winner. Look what the Bible says. Verse 15, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. Isn't that interesting? That we this morning that are saved, God says you're a sweet smelling savor, not to the world, but unto Him. But not just to Him for that reason, but we're a sweet smelling savor to Him for the good of saved people and to lost people. This morning we need to realize we need to live a victorious life. And again, I know you're going to get sick. I know you're going to have pain. I know you're going to have heartache. I know you're going to deal with debt. I know your bank accounts are going to get low sometime. Hey, but listen, this morning through the trial, through the tribulation, through the heartache, listen to me. God says, I'll let you be triumphant because of who I am. That's the victory. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I didn't say these things. This is what God says. I just want to live these things. And back to what we read. I mentioned, I think it was last Sunday, I told you about that orange that we bought, some oranges we bought down in Florida. They're honey something or other. I don't forget what they are. But honey something. My wife's not here, so she can't help me. But now I promise you, I have never in my life, they're nothing but a sack full of orange juice. You can't even take a knife and poke a hole in the top. I don't know what everybody else does. I remember, you know, Mom and Dad showed us how to take an orange. You roll that thing around a little bit and get it all mushy and then cut a hole in it. These here, and yeah, then you suck the juice out of it. These here, you better not roll them around. They'll explode. I promise you. You ask my wife. You take that thing, and as soon as you stick a knife in it, it's spitting at you. It ain't nothing but juice. I made mention of it last week, how, boy, that's a good, cut that thing open, get ready to drink that orange juice and squeeze it, and it's apple juice. Now, that ain't going to happen. We know that. But what comes out of you when you get squeezed? Does Christ come out of you? Is that what your neighbor sees? Is that what your coworker sees? Is that what the people you go to school with see? When you get squeezed, what comes out? The spirit or the flesh? Hey, I'm a victorious person this morning because in my tribulations, in my circumstances, when this world does squeeze me and try to knock me down, Christ can use that for His honor and His glory. Look here in 1 Corinthians real quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, these are very familiar verses. Verse 51 says, 15 says, "But I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall..." Every time I read that, I can't help but think what Brother Knox said. That last trump. Maybe if Trump wins, he'll be the last trump. Amen? And now we're out of here. So, hey, I don't think that's what God meant, but I can't help but think about that. "The trumpet shall sound, and dead shall be raised, and incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then," the Bible says, "and only then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law." Verse 57, "But thanks be to God which giveth us" what? The victory. Where is that in your life? Where is that joy? Where is that excitement? Hey, I will tell you, I remember the day, hallelujah. I remember as a 13-year-old boy, I was in that vacation Bible school classroom. I was sitting there listening to the Word of God, and God began to burden my heart about getting saved. And I said, when the preacher come in there, I couldn't help it. I was about to bust. I needed to get saved. He took me to His office. He took the Word of God, began to show me what God... Did I understand it? No, I didn't understand it. All I knew is I didn't want to die and go to hell. I needed the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else could help me. And Christ came into my life. Did I get up and say, "Whoop-whoop"? No, man, I want to tell everybody. I was excited. Hey, I'm going to heaven. Hey, I got saved. That shouldn't go away. That's the triumph in my life. Hey, I've got victory, not of who I am. Hey, you can have victory, not because of who you are. But I'm triumphant, I'm victorious because of Christ. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. One other place, look back over in 1 John. 1 John 1:9. Hang with me just a moment. 1 John, look at chapter 5. Again, he says we're triumphant in Christ. 1 John chapter 5, look in verse 4. Verse 4 says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." Now, look up here. I want you to understand this. Look at me. Many people have troubles come in their life. They have problems that hit them flat, straight in the face, and it knocks them on their knees. They get mad at God. "I thought God was going to take care of that. I thought God would never let that happen to me." Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I've dealt with people that way. I might even been that way a few times. God never promised your flesh that. Notice what the Bible says. Look at it. See it. Look at verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God. What's born of God? Come on. This is truth that most people don't ever get a hold of, and they struggle. They don't have victory in their life because all they see is their flesh. My flesh was not born of God. You know what my flesh was born of? Flesh. I was born May 24th, 1969 to a man named Felix and a woman named Georgia, and I was birthed at Idle Memorial Hospital, and here I is. That was born of the flesh. But hallelujah, I was born a loser, but 13-year-old boy in vacation Bible school, I don't know the date, I don't know the time, I can take you to the place, I remember it in my mind, I was born again. That wasn't born of Felix Weick, and that wasn't born of Georgia Weick, and that wasn't born of Preacher Ball. Was his last name? Couldn't think of his first name. But that was born of God. So, let's look what the verse says. Verse 4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, we're getting ready to close. Look back over at 2 Corinthians. Look at verse 14 of chapter 2. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Now, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 places that I could tell you some things, but I'll give you these just to help you. But are you living your life victorious? Are you living your life as a winner in Christ? Does people even know that? Now, listen, I don't promote the lottery, and I believe it's gambling. We're not preaching that today. If somebody won the lottery and wanted to give the churches some money, I'd take it. People say, what would you do? I'd take it. I'd take the devil's money any day and beat him up with it. I would. You might not agree with that, but I'm not going to play the lottery. I think it's a bad testimony to see me standing in line to go buy a lottery ticket. Preacher, I bought a lottery. Don't tell me. I don't want to know. That's between you and the Lord. I sure would rather put my money in the missions than into something you ain't going to win. One out of 250-some billion people, like you're going to win that. But I can tell you this morning, everyone that comes to Christ, everyone that is born again, you are a winner. The question is, are you living that? I'm afraid most of us ain't. Most of the world don't ever see that on our side. They see us as weak. They see us as somebody that's just snob-nosed. Listen, we ought to shout it to, listen, if you won that, what was that last lottery? Unreal amount of money. I don't remember. I was thinking, what would I do with that kind of money? I'd like to try it. But, I know what it probably do. What does what everybody else does. It destroys them. I've seen money destroy churches. I have. But I just about guarantee somebody walked up to you this morning, put their hand out, hugged your neck, said, I just want to give you something. And they gave you a check that was real. Well, let's not even say check, because most people don't know what that is anymore. But somebody handed you an envelope. And they walked off, and you opened that envelope, and inside that envelope was $100 bills just as thick as they could stack them in there. Now, you be honest. Would you be excited about that? If you say no, you'd be a liar. Everybody in here would like to have a fistful of money like that. And we get excited about that. But let me ask you this. You know the only people that really likes me getting money is the people that I owe. Be honest. That's who gets my money. They like me to get money so I can pay them. If you were given a sack full of money, if he's given $1 million, what would that get you? Oh, preacher, I'd have this and I'd have that. I don't know if I told this or not. We were in Florida a few weeks ago at the Bible conference, and we was out riding around. And you just got to understand, I'm a lot different than you might think. We was riding around, there's a strip mall, and I saw a big sign that said casket store. I said, let's go in there. I said, wonder if they let you lay down in them. I wanted my wife to take a picture. I couldn't get her to go in. You could buy the nicest casket, thank God. But it's not going to help you. You can have the biggest house that you could ever afford. Your children will fight over it. You can buy the nicest car they make, and it wears out. But I want to tell you this morning, if you're saved, truly born again, you can go through this life, and when everything else is going wrong, if you can truly get your eyes fixed on God, God says, listen, you're triumphant. Preacher, how can that be? I can't preach this. It'd take the rest of the day, but I can't preach this. How can we say that we'll be triumphant? Well, the first thing I thought of is when you get saved, you get the Holy Spirit. We don't understand that. What is that Holy Ghost? I'm not scared of it. It's not something spooky. Hey, I thank God. Jesus said, I'm going away, but I'm going to send you a comforter. Right. Hey, I've got a comforter. Not only a comforter. The Bible tells us over there that not only does he comfort us, but he guides me. I'm not walking around this world blind. I'm not wondering what's going to happen next. I'm walking by faith, knowing that God is in control of my life. Preacher, you ever mess up? Sure do. You ever fall down? All the time. Guess what? He's always been there to pick me up, help me knock the dirt off, get me pointed back in the right direction, and off I go again. That's how I'm victorious this morning. Not only do I look at the thought I have the Holy Ghost, I can say that I'm a winner, but now you got to listen to this and really careful. Not only do I have the Holy Ghost that makes me a winner, but listen to me. I have all provisions this morning. Preacher, you can't say that. I do. How do you know that? Well, let me give you a verse. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Now, you know, a lot of people run and say, well, you know, never seen children of God begging for bread and all those things. Listen, I have never been hungry, but I've had troubles. I'm saved. I have problems. I'm saved. I have hurts and pains every day. I'm saved. The Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh. He was saved. I have abundance and provision this morning. How do you know, preacher? This is what God told me. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 8. This is what it says. And God, listen, and God, not the preacher, and God, not mom and daddy, and God, not this world, and God, the Bible says, is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always all sufficient, shall always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. That's a tremendous verse. This morning, not only when I got saved did I get the Holy Ghost of God, I'm comforted, I'm guided, but I have been given a wealth. A wealth. That's what Brother Dwayne sung about. I have all my provisions. How? Because listen to this verse. You ought to turn there if you want to. Chapter 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God sure did go over abundant there, didn't he, with the alls. I think with the three or four alls there is, and in that word always, I think it's five times God puts forth that thought of all. That's what God gave me. Did I deserve it? Do I deserve it? Lord, no. But I'm his child, and he tells me that I'm triumphant in the Lord. So I have abundance. We're winners because we can overcome. Are you an overcomer? I don't think a lot of us understand that we are overcomers. The Bible says in John 16:33, it says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." Listen, what is he saying? You're going to have problems. You're going to have heartaches. You're going to, but look, I can, I'm not going to stand up here and say, listen, I've stood at my mother-in-law. I thought about entitling this her message. When my mother-in-law was dying with cancer, Teresa's mom's been dead for years now. She died a young woman with cancer. Boy, what a godly woman she was. She laid there on her deathbed, and all her brothers were lost. I think there was 10 or 11 of those. She'd lay there, and she'd testify the fact, says, I'm a winner either way. She said, if God heals me, I'm a winner. If God takes me home, I'm a winner. Hey, that's what you are if you're saved. I'm a winner. And the world needs to see something that's real. Listen, I know Brother Wyndham tells Melvin this all the time. It's just a game. Now listen, there's a lot of money going to be made tonight. Lots of money. Whoever wins tonight is not going to change me one way or the other. I ain't going to lose nothing. I ain't going to gain nothing. But listen, when I got saved, I gained all things, and I lost a lot of things. I'm an overcomer this morning. 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children, have overcome them because greater is He is in you. We looked at earlier. Not only am I a winner this morning because I have the Holy Ghost. Not only am I a winner this morning because I have all the provisions. Not only this morning am I a winner because I'm an overcomer. But I'm a winner this morning because He says, I'll never leave you. Wherever I am, He's there. What do you mean, preacher? Two things. I ain't got time to read all these, but the Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. It says, let your conversation be without covetous and be content with such things as you have, for He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Can I tell you this morning, I'm a winner this morning because of Christ, because He's always with me in my life. Everywhere I go, He's with me. He's promised never to leave me. People, now listen to me, let me help you. If you've been around here a little while, you know this, but some of you have not ever heard this maybe. A lot of people make this statement, and it's not true. You'll never find this in the Bible. People say, well, God never put more on you than you can bear. That's a lie. Now, I want you to understand that. God will never put more on you than you can bear. I've said that before until God showed me that it was a lie. That's a lie. Because I can't bear much. I'm really weak. It doesn't take a lot. You start messing around with my home, my family, I'm pretty weak. It wouldn't take long, I could get mad. It wouldn't take long, I could get upset. It wouldn't take me long, I could turn my back. Let me tell you what the truth is, though. God will never put more on me than He can bear. Because in Christ, I can do all things. But without Christ, the Bible says I can do nothing. See, I'm a winner this morning because Christ says, I'll never leave you. I'm a winner in life because of that. But I'm closing with this, and I want you to understand this. Not only am I a winner every day of my life, is it perfect? Is it rosy? Do I have everything that I want, need, and all these things? No. I do have heartaches. I do get disappointed. I do get discouraged. But in my life, I know that I'm triumphant through Christ. But not only in life am I in triumph, but listen to me. I can seriously, and my wife gets tired of me joking about death, but I can seriously lay my head down at night, talk to the Lord for just a little bit, and drift off to sleep for just a little while. And I know without a shadow of a doubt, He was with me throughout the day. And if He chooses to come get me at the night or whenever, if I die, not only is He with me in life, but He's with me through death. How can you lose? You can't lose with Christ. He says you're triumphant in Christ. Two things I want you to get a hold of. First of all, and most of all, if you're here this morning, you don't know the Lord, listen, you're on a losing team. You cannot be good enough. You cannot turn over a new leaf. You cannot walk a straight line. You cannot give enough money. You can't hold your head up above water long enough. You're going to lose. But I want to tell you this morning, God loves you. And He'll take you just as you are and make you a triumphant. He'll make you a winner. So this morning, if you don't know the Lord, you can leave this place a winner. But I wonder this morning, most of all, too, where are the winners this morning? Again, tonight, a lot of tension on who's going to win. The Panthers' colors are what? Blue and silver tonight, I think, is what they're wearing. They got machines right now loaded up with paper, torn in pieces for confetti. That's blue and silver. And if they win tonight, boom! There's going to be a great celebration. Everybody's going to be screaming and hollering. We won! We won! I didn't see you on the team. What position did you play? Like you won. You didn't do nothing. But if the Broncos win, they're what, orange and black? Is that right? Help me out. Orange and white. If they win, ba-boom! All you're going to see is orange and white. And a year from now, most people done forgot it. Probably less than a year. Listen to me. I want you to think back. If you're saved this morning, you think back. I think back to a little old classroom at Friendship Baptist Church in the basement. I think back to two people, Bobby Henderson and David, I can't think of his last name, teaching that little old teenage Sunday school class in Vacation Bible School. I think back sitting over in the right-hand corner in about the second seat. I think back how God was dealing with my heart. I think back to a preacher that came into that little old room, began to tell all of us about the Lord, and just began to talk to us, began to ask us about our salvation. I think back to how at that moment I realized I didn't have what I needed, how I realized that I needed more than what I had. Hey, I raised my hand and said, "Preacher, help me. I need to be saved." And he took me up to his office, and he began to take that good old Bible and show me what Christ had already done for me. Hey, my mind goes back to that day when the Lord Jesus Christ birthed me into the family of God, and I became a child of the King. That was a winning day, and I'm still a winner today. I don't forget that day. Again, I couldn't tell you who won the Super Bowl last year. I really couldn't. But I can tell you when I become a winner. Hey, child of God, you might not remember the day. You might not remember the hour. You might not put a face to the person, or you might not put a lot of the things together, but there ought to be something in your life that speaks up this to you right now and says, "Oh, I remember the day when the Holy Ghost of God moved into my abode. Hey, the old man went out, a new man came in." Hey, that's when you become a winner. And it ought to be as real today as it was that day, is it? If it's not, it's not God's fault. It's your fault. What's burdening that? What's binding that? It's you. Why don't you get back up and say, "Look, yeah, I got problems, but greater is God. Yeah, I'm going to go through trials, but He said He'd go with me." That's the victory that we've got to learn to get a hold of. Let's stand this morning.